Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chul and Daf Tzadiches. We left off on Daf Tzadizayin and Beis. We are up to Beitza B'Shishim at the two dots, four lines from the end of the page. This year is sponsored once again by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. Ali and Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basim Chalda. Shalom of the Neshama should have an aliyah. So we're going to talk about today is first we're going to discuss what is the case that we require Shishim to be Mevata Le Beitza. We mentioned this yesterday that there's such a din of Shishim when it comes to a Beitza. Are we talking about what kind of egg are we talking about? Are we talking about an egg from a non-kosher bird? Are we talking about an egg that has an ephroach growing in it? Are we talking about a peeled egg, an unpeeled egg? What exactly is the case where you require shishim? Then the Gemara is going to discuss how we measure the shear bittel for both a kezayis and perhaps more notably a chatzi zayis of chelev that falls into a pot. Do we maybe not need shishim when it's only a chatzi zayis, when it's only a chatzi shear of iser that fell into the pot? The Gemara is then going to discuss maybe when it comes to being mevata lebeitza, you don't just need shishim, you need 61. Maybe there's a different shear, and the shear is a slightly higher shear than it would be for a different than it would be for other Isurim. The Gemara is going to tell three different stories that indicate that bittel of a chatzi shear can be with less than shishim. So our assumption of shishim is going to be questioned in both directions. That maybe by a beitza you need a little bit more, maybe by a chatzi shear you need a lot less than shishim. So we're going to question both of those sides of the equation. Then the Gemara is going to say that whether you hold that in kalat harukula you need shishim, or whether you hold that in kalat harukula you need in order to be mevatel, it's all derived from the same source. It's derived from the din of the zroa b'sheila of an el nazir, that the nazir brings one of his karbanos as an ayil, and the zroa b'sheila is given to a kohen as aser for a non-kohen to eat, and yet it's cooked with the rest of the animal. So obviously, it's being nosin tam into the rest of the animal, and yet non-kohanim are allowed to eat the rest of the animal. So from there, we learn the shear of bittel. It's just a question of exactly how to measure it, and that's why it might yield two different numbers, either shishim or meya. Then the Gemara is going to have, starting today's daf and going into tomorrow's daf, three different interpretations of a phrase that comes up in a brisa, zehu heter abba mechlal iser, that with regard to the Zroa B'Shela, it says, this is a place where the Torah is matir, something that is usher everywhere else. So what is it talking about? In what sense is Zroa B'Shela an example of something that's mutter, even though in the rest of Kalat Tarukula, it would have been aser. So the first approach is going to be that this relates to min bimino eno batel. The second approach is that it's going to relate to tam ki ikr. And third approach, I don't know yet because it's in tomorrow's daf. So we're going to have three different approaches to how to explain that phrase. So let us begin at the two dots, four lines from the end of the page. So we had said that beitza b'shishim vein beitza min aminyan. We had said in the brisa that a non-kosher egg that gets mixed in with kosher eggs and they're all cooked together, so you need shishim, and the beitza doesn't count as one of the shishim, which means you need a 60-1 ratio, not a 59-1 ratio. Now, very critically over here, we need to know, are we talking about a peeled egg or an egg in its shell? So Tosus writes that Rav Nachman is talking about a beitza that's aser, that is eina kalufa, that is still in its shell, that gets mixed in with beitza mutaros, she'einan klufos. Everything is still in its shell. That's the basis of the discussion over here. That's what Tosus writes in Daf Sadi Chesom and Aleph in Dibra Maskel Bebeitzas. All the other Rishonim, the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, they all write that Rav Nachman is talking about even a beitza klufa, even a peeled egg is the basis of this discussion, and that one machlokas is going to color how we see the entire discussion. So says the Gemara, Amrli Ravidi Baravan Labaye. Again, so far all we said is that a beitza requires shishim kenegda in order to be mevatalit. So Amrli Ravidi Baravan Labaye, the Memer, the Avataima, are you telling me that when you cook an egg with other things, it's no saint tam, it actually transfers tam from the egg? V'ha'amri yinshi, but don't people say when they talk about something that is bland and has no tam at all, ki maya debay bialma, it says it became like an expression. They say it's like water that you cook an egg in, as a way of saying that it has no tam whatsoever. So how come you need shishim against the beitza that's aser? It doesn't give any tam. A beitza doesn't give any tam. Now the reason that it doesn't give any tam, the Ramban writes, according to the shita that holds that Rav Nachman is talking about, a beitza that's still in its shell, it's because it's still in its shell, so it doesn't give out, and nothing escapes the egg when it's still in its shell. And according to the opinion that the heter of beitza is even when it's beitzim klufos, when it's peeled eggs, it's because the way that an egg reacts to heat is that instead of becoming expansive and expelling its time, it sort of shrivels into itself, and that's the way it relates to heat instead of releasing time to other things, even when it's peeled. So again, it all relates to that. But all we see from the Gemara is that we said that you need shishim keneged a beitza, presumably because the beitza is no same time to everything that's cooked with. But what are you talking about? Everybody always uses the example of a classic thing that's not no same time is an egg. Water that an egg is cooked in doesn't taste like anything because a beitza apparently is not no same time. So there are several kashas that we showed have on this kasha, meaning before we get to the Gemara's answer, the Rishonim say, well, I can think of a few answers, and how come the Gemara doesn't think of my answer? So Rishonim raised the question, why doesn't the Gemara just say very simple that Rav Nachman is talking about a beitza of an of tame that's peeled, that gets mixed with a beitza of an oaf tahar that's peeled, and in such a case there is no same time. And when we say that a beitza is not no same time, that's a beitza with the klipa, meaning the whole machlokas, instead of saying that the whole assumption is without the klipa, or the whole assumption is it's with the klipa, maybe there's no assumption, and the Gemara should just answer, that's the difference. If it's with the klipa, then it's not going to be no same time. If it's without the klipa, then it will be no same time. How come the Gemara didn't think of giving such an answer? So Tosa suggests that the reason the Gemara didn't answer that is because stam beitzim you cook with the klipa. So it's mistaber that we're talking about beitzim she'eno klupos, that we're talking about a non-peeled egg, because Rav Nachman just said beitzim b'shishim, and he didn't say beitzim klufos or b'shishim. He didn't say peeled eggs are b'shishim. So whenever you say stam egg, the presumption has to be that it's with the klipa. That's how Tosa suggests. The Ramban suggests that the Gemara wanted to be mechadesh, that even a beitzim with the klipa will still have the capacity to aser. We just have to figure out why we assume that it doesn't give any time into the water. But we're going to try to come up with a case where even with the klipa, it's going to aser. The Ramban alternatively suggests that it's a davar pashut, that a beitza that is not kosher, that is peeled, that gets mixed in with beitzim, other beitzim that are peeled, are going to require shishim keneged, the beitza that's aser. And the beitza is not min haminyan. Obviously, it's going to need shishim keneged, like every other iser in the Torah, where you need 60 to 1 ratio, not a 59 to 1 ratio. It's dafka by Khal, we have this unusual chiddush that by an udder you only need a 59 to 1 ratio. Why does Rav Nachman say dafka a beitza? It must be that he's trying to be mechadish something. So what's that chiddush? It must be that even with the peel you need a 60 to 1 ratio, and that's why we're working with that assumption. We can't just give the simple answer that yes, it doesn't give any time when it's got the peel on, and when it's got the shell on rather, and it does give time when it doesn't have the shell on. We can't give that answer. So that's issue number one that the Rishonim deal with. The other issue the Rishonim deal with is I could think of a different answer that the Gemara could have given. Why not say that Rav Nachman is talking about a case where the Beitza Asura gets mixed with Beitza Mutaros, but you can't identify which is the Beitza Asura, and that's why you need Shishim. Meaning when you can identify, it got cooked together, but you see the tray for one, so you take it out. So it's only a matter of the tam that was expelled by the trefa one. So that we would say, okay, so there's no tam. But if the trefa one is still in there and I can't identify it, that's where you need shishim. That's where I'm going to need shishim. Why not give that answer? So the Ravid writes that the beitza itself has a din of a beria. So it would never be batal. Meaning if you couldn't identify it and you couldn't pull out the actual original beitza, so it's a beria shlema, afilu be'elef lo batal. It would never become batal. Other Rishonim say that a beitza does not have a din of a beria. And the reason the Gemara doesn't say you need shishim kenegdo is because it itself is betel barov, like any other yavish biyavish. Meaning we wouldn't say that you would need shishim. Meaning if the issue were not about the tam, the issue were just about you had a taroves of, it would be like a taroves of three pieces of meat that happen to be, that you just can't identify them, where the halach is that it's betel barov. You don't require shishim in such a case. The third suggested answer that the Gemara doesn't give, that the Rishonim wonder why the Gemara didn't give. Again, the first suggested answer the Rishonim struggled with, why not just say, here we're talking about with the klipa, there we're talking about without the klipa. Second, the second issue that they were bothered by, why not say that we're talking about where here's where you can identify the trefa egg and you pull it out, so it's only about the tam, and here's where you can't identify the trefa egg. The third question, the Rishonim, the Ritva asks, why doesn't the Gemara just say that Rav Nachman's talking about a case where you where it's scrambled eggs, and in such a case there's for sure nesinas tam, meaning you scramble it together with all the other eggs, and that is so even though if you cook an egg in a pot with water, maybe you're not going to have nesinas tam, but obviously if you scramble eggs together, kosher eggs and non-kosher eggs, so obviously there's going to be nesinas tam. So the Ritva suggests that from Rav Nachman, where he says the din of Beitz of Bashishim, he says it together with the din of Gid and with the din of Kchal. So by Gid and Kchal, it's obviously not scrambled. It's obviously only a din of the Plata. So over here also, it's got to be a din just of the Plata. So therefore, none of these answers of the Rishonim apparently are the good answer or the right answer. So we're back to the Kasha in the Gemara. Why is it that we're saying that you need Shishim connected to Beitzah? Don't we know that a beitza doesn't give off any time? That we're talking about over here is a beitza that has an afroach in it. It is a fertilized egg that has a chick that is growing in it that gets cooked together with other beitzim. So the basar of the afroach is nosin tam, and that's true whether it's an of tame or whether it's an of tahar, because even the afroach of an of tahar is treif while it's still inside the egg. It has a din either of a nevela, Rashi says, other Rishonim say it has a din of a sheretz, which seems like a more compelling case, but it has a din of something that's aser. Aval tamei alo, but a beitza of an of tamei without a nefroach, where it just happens to be a non-kosher egg, and he doesn't give any tamei, would not aser the other beitzim. So that's the answer. So says Mar Eisvei. So Ravidi Baravin challenges the Abaye, how can you say that the beitza of an of tamei doesn't aser other beitzim, meaning that if there's no efroach growing in there, you just stam have a non-kosher egg, that it's not going to aser other beitzim. Don't we learn in the Brisa that beitzim tahoros sheshlakon im beitzim tameos, that if you have kosher eggs cooked with non-kosher eggs, im yesh ben b'no saint tam kulo nasuros, if there are no saint tam, if the non-kosher gives tam to the kosher, then it's all going to be aser. So you see that even a beitz of an of tamei is no saint tam. So answers the Gemara, hacha nami bebeitza safroach. No, that's not stam talking about a treif egg. That's talking about an egg that has an afroach inside of it. And in fact, it could even be from a kosher species, but it's got an afroach inside of it, and therefore it's basar, and that's what's no saint tam. But that's not what it said. It said beitzim tahoros sheshlakan and beitzim tameos. Why would you call it a beitza tamea if it's not a beitza tamea? It's just a beitza sheish b'afroach. Well, kiven des b'afroach, kari la tamea. Tamea just means not kosher. So since it has an afroach in it, it's not kosher. But that's what we mean when we say, that's what the brisa means when it says that if kosher eggs get cooked with non-kosher eggs, it means kosher eggs get cooked with other kosher eggs, but they have an afroach in there, and that's what's going to aser. Frekta gemarva midiktani say, but from the fact that the Seifa of the Brisa says Beitzim Sheshlakon V'Nimtze Efroach Ba'achas Me'en, in the Seifa it introduces a new case that there's an Efroach in one of them. So Im Yesh B'Menos Intam Kulon Asuros, then it's going to ask B'Menos Intam. Doesn't that tell you Machal D'Reish L'Des B'Efroach Haskinon, that the previous case where we just spoke about Beitzim Torah Sheshlakon and Beitzim Tameos has nothing to do with an Efroach, that it's just regular eggs and one of them happens to be of an Of Tameh, and you see that that is no Saint Tam? So says Mar, no, you're misunderstanding. Understanding. Prusha kamafaresh. The Seifa is simply explaining the case of the Reisha. It's not introducing a new case. Ooh, Nimtzaba Afroach, new case we haven't discussed. No, it's saying Nimtzaba Afroach is the case of the Reisha. That Beitzim Taharos Sheshlakin and Beitzim Tameos, Im Yesh B'Menos In Tam Kulan Asuros, that there is a case where kosher and non-kosher eggs are cooked together and the non-kosher eggs are going to impact the kosher eggs, are going to treif them up. Ketzad, what's the case where that would happen? Eggs don't give any time, so why would that ever happen? Man, that's what the Seif is explaining, because there's an Efroach in one of them. That's where it would happen, that the Trefa eggs will trefa up the kosher eggs, because it's not about the Trefa eggs, it's about the Efroach that's inside of them. But the whole Brisa is really about a case of Efroach, and where we stand right now is that a regular trefa egg, a regular egg from a non-kosher bird that gets cooked with other eggs, has zero impact on the other eggs. It's simply not nosin tam. And that's why people have that expression that if something doesn't have any taste to it, it's like may beitza bialma. It's just like water cooked with eggs where there's no tam in that water whatsoever. The only time that we're worried about something non-kosher of an egg affecting other eggs is if there is an efroach inside of it. And says Mar Hachinami Mistavra, it's Mistavra to say that the entire Bryce is talking about a beitza that has an efroach. Because if you're going to say that the case of the Resha is a regular non-kosher egg and it has nothing to do with an Efroach, so Hasha Delespa Efroach Asura, so then Dispa Efroach Mibai, then what exactly is the Chiddush of the Seifa? If the Resha already taught me that if you have just a regular non-kosher egg that gets cooked with kosher eggs, that can asur all the kosher eggs, well, obviously an egg that has an efroach will be able to asur all the others. The egg that has an efroach has a basar of a nevela or a sheretz inside of it. So obviously that would be able to asur it. So therefore, it's muchach from the brisa that the whole brisa, the whole time the brisa is talking about a non-kosher egg impacting other eggs, is only if there's an efroach in there. When there's no efroach in there, it doesn't have any impact. It's muchach that way. Says the Gemara, look, we like the answer that the whole brisa is talking about is an efroach, but don't tell me that it's muchach that way based on this raya, that otherwise what's the seifa teaching me? If that's your biggest raya, that the whole brisa is talking about an efroach, you could reject that raya, because tana seifa legluye resha. Sometimes the seifa is not adding an additional chiddush. The seifa is teaching me how to learn up the resha. The seifa is telling me what, you know, that the seifa directs me in how to understand the Resha properly, and one could have argued that that's what's going on in the Brisa. Shalo Tomar, because had you not had the Seifa, one might have said that Resha di Ispa Efroach, that the Resha is talking about a case where there is an Efroach, Avol Espa Efroach Sharia, but when there's no Efroach, it's all Mutter, which is what we in fact say. But one could have learned the Brisa as telling me, don't say that, so Tana Seifa, because the Seifa introduces this Ispa Efroach. The Seifa first introduces that there's an Efroach, Mechal the Resha the Lespa Efroach, which would tell me that the Reish is talking about a case where there's no Efroach, and it still has the capacity to asur afilu achi asira. So one could have learnt the Brisa that way. I mean, you don't have to tell me, just by virtue of the fact that the Seifa exists, that the whole Brisa must be talking about where there's an Efroach. You don't have to tell me that. It could be that one could have learnt the Brisa, that the Reisha is a regular egg without an Efroach, and the Seifa is an egg with an Efroach. But even though it's not muchrach, we're still happy to say that the whole brisa is talking about where there is an efroach. And at the end of the day, a beitza gives no tam. A beitza that doesn't have an efroach gives no tam, and will not aser the other beitzim. So that's what it seems to be at the end of the day, that beitza shel of tame that doesn't have an efroach will not aser other eggs, because there is no nesinas tam. You take an egg from a tray for bird, you cook it with a bunch of eggs from kosher birds, you can just take out that egg afterwards, throw it out, and all the kosher eggs are still kosher. That's what it seems in the end of the day. That's what the Rashba writes, and that's what Rov Rishonim write. Tosos and the Rosh just add that it's dafka a beitza with a klipa, that there's a chiluk between a beitza safrach to between a beitza that has an afroach and a beitza of tame. But a beitza klufa, if it doesn't have the shell around it anymore, then there's no chiluk. And even a beitza of an of tame without an afroach would be no sintam in the other. So that comes back to, again, what is the premise of our whole discussion? Are we assuming yes shell, or are we assuming no shell? But that's what Tosfos writes, that once you assume that there's going to be no shell, the whole conversation here is assuming yes shell. If there's no shell there, then of course it's going to be no Saint Tom, Tosfos writes. And he says, Muchach in the Yerushalmi this way, and that's what the Rashba and the Ran write, that we should be choshish for the Yerushalmi, even though the Bavli never makes the chilek, meaning it's noticeably absent from the Talmud Bavli in this whole conversation. How do you talk about cooking eggs and not talk about whether there's a shell around the egg or not? But somehow the whole discussion in the Bavli never mentions it. But the Yerushalmi mentions it. And so when the Bavli is not clear, so the Rishonim say. So then we're sumich on the Yerushalmi. When the Bavli is clear, we're not going to pass on the Yerushalmi against the Bavli, but when the Bavli is not clear, the Yerushalmi gives us the color commentary, so to speak. So the whole thing is only if there's our whole conversation over here is assuming there is a shell. That is how Tosos writes, that's how the Rush writes. However, the Ramban, the Ra'ah, the Ritva all say that the Bavli holds that even if there's no shell, it's still not nosing time in the mayim, and that's why the Gemara asks on Rav Nachman, why do you need shishim kenegda? And Rav Nachman and answers, Rav Nachman is talking about a beitzah of froach that gives time even if it's ain't a klufa, but a beitzah of an ov tameh, even if it's without the klipa, it does not aser the others because it simply does not have a nesinas time, and that seems to be the shitas harambam as well in Hilchos Machalos Asuros Perek Tes Vav Halach. So there's a major machlokas, how to understand the entire conversation over here. Is it only an egg with the shell, or is it even an egg without the shell? Okay, how kazayis atarba? Different discussion. You have a kazayis of chaylev, denafel b'tikula debisra, that fell into a pot of kosher meat. So savar Rav Ashi l'shiurei b'may debala tikula. So Rav Ashi wanted to be mishayer to measure the shishim with all the blios of the kadera from the kosher meat as well, meaning not just to measure the shishim of the meat that you see in the pot, connected this piece of chelev that fell in, but to also measure all the blios that are absorbed in the walls of the pot from all the kosher meat, to count that on the plus side, on the heter side, when you're doing the 60-to-1 ratio with the non-kosher meat. So Amri l'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan said the Ravashi, Atu deter bal disru lo bala. But what do you think? The chelev fell into the pot. You don't think the chelev gave time into the pot? Meaning just like the kosher meat gave time, so it's the same ratio. So it's not going to change anything by taking the blios into account. This was all to introduce the following case. Let's say you have a chatzi zayis of chaylev. Now, a chatzi zayis is only a chatzi shir. You're not going to be chayiv for eating a chatzi zayis, so it's somewhat of a lesser iser. So if a chatzi zayis falls into a large pot of kosher meat, so Mar Baravashi l'sheurei bitchlosin palgi d'zeisa. So Mar Baravashi wanted to initially say, you only need a 30-to-1 ratio. He's not saying 30 kizesim neged a chatzi zayis. That would be a 60-to-1 ratio. He's saying 30 chatzi zesim keneged the chatzi zayis. A 30-to-1 ratio is all you need. Rashi explains because he was being mezalzel. He's not requiring shishim because it's the iser itself didn't have a kizayis, and that's what the Ra'a writes as well. That he thought a chatzi zayis is only asumid rabbanon, and therefore bittul could happen with even less than shishim. Paras Yosef explains, Mar Bar Avashi thought that since truma we know is batal b'meya, orla is batal b'masayim, other things are batal b'shishim, what accounts for that difference? Why should truma be b'meya? Why should orla be b'masayim? It must be that depending on the severity of the iser, the ratio required is a different ratio. So once you're down to a chatzi shir is a very low level iser. It's only drabanan, he's assuming, we'll see in a moment, we don't assume that, but only drabanan. So if it's only drabanan, so you only need a shloshim, a 30-to-1 ratio, not a 60-to-1 ratio. That's what he thought. So Amalei Avua, so Rav Ashi, his father, said to him, Lava minulach lo tezalzel b'shu drabanan. How many times do I have to tell you that you should shut the lights when you leave a room, and you should, and also, how many times I have to tell you, shouldn't be mezalzel in shirim derabanan. That don't be mezalzel in shir bittul, even on isurim derabanan. And therefore a chatzi shir, even if you can assume it's only midrabanan, you're still going to need shishim. You know, shloshim is not going to be enough. The Rashi over here writes that even by Yisurim Drabban, the Knesset Gedolah says that Rashi is trying to tell me that don't think that Ravashi was only Ravashi only got upset not to be mezalzel in Shiurim Drabbanon of Yisurim that are Yisuri Torah. Meaning over here it's Chelev. Chelev is Nisur Midoraisa. It happens to be it's a Shir Drabbanon, Chatzi Zayis of Chelev. No, says the Knesset Gedolah, even Yisurim that the whole Iker Isur is only Midrabbanon, he's still getting upset that you can't be mezalzel in the shir. Meaning, even if the whole iser to begin with were only an iser drabanan, you would still need shishim, and that's what he's telling him. That's the way the Knesset HaGadola understands, and that's somewhat debatable. The Or Zeruah writes that Even though la halacha we need shishim against things that are drabanan as well, that's only something that's that the ikar iser is min haTorah, like a chatzis ayis chelev, chatzis ayis nevela. But something that the whole ikar iser is not min haTorah, the whole ikar iser is only midrabanan, like the shuman agid is not the iser min haTorah. It's only an iser midrabanan. Gvinas akum, chalav akum, right? Things that are only aser midrabanan, bishul akum. So then, even if it's kazayis or more, the iser is going to be batal baro. So this seems to be a major machlokas, how to understand Rav Ashi's hakpada over here. When he's saying, don't be mezalzel, you need shishim even on drabanans, does that mean an iser that's min haTorah, but the shir is only drabanan? Or does he even mean something that's totally midrabanan, that you still are going to require shishim? Okay, but that's one thing that his father told him. Va'od, Rav Ashi further told him, Hamar Rabbi Yochanan chatzi shir asa min haTorah. I don't know where you get the impression that a chatzi shir is asa midrabanan. Rabbi Yochanan tells us that chatzi shir is asa min haTorah. You just happen to not get malchus for it. So of course you should measure b'shishim, because like all other isurei Torah that are that you need shishim. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Sadiches Sivav that a kechatzi zayis of iser that gets mixed in with heter, you need shishim chatzai zayse heter to be mevatel. You need a 60-to-1 ratio. So the Beragola in Oz Tezvav over there points to our Gemara, that this maisa in our Gemara, that and like Rabbi Yochanan, that a chatzi shir is aser min haTorah, and that's why you need shishim, and that's what the Shach and the Levush Paskin, that since chatzi shir is aser min haTorah, that's why you need shishim, because chatzi shir is aser min haTorah. The Taz Paskins, though, that even by chatzi shir of Yisrim Drabanan, you need shishim, and he proves it from the first half of Rav Ashi said. Meaning, he wanted to be makel to take a 30-to-1 ratio. So Rav Ashi said to him, two mistakes. First of all, you can't be mezalzel in drabanans. Second of all, this isn't even a drabanan. So where the Shach takes it is, this isn't even a drabanan. So when you have d'oraisas, you need shishim, says the Taz. Well, what about the first half of what he said? You can't be mezalzel in drabanans. Even if it were a drabanan, you would need shishim. You always need shishim. So Knesset HaGadol says that the Shach and the Taz are arguing about the issue we just spoke about before, that when Rav Ashi said to him, not to be mezalzel b'shum drabanan, does that mean on something that Ikar Isser is min haTorah, but the Shir is Drabanan? Or does he mean even something that's totally Drabanan? The way the Taz learns it is, even something that's totally Drabanan, you can't be Mezalzel. And therefore, he says, you're going to need Shishim even on a total Drabanan. The way the Shach learns it is, no, when the Ikar Isser is min haTorah, then you can't be Mezalzel on a Shir Drabanan. But something that's totally Drabanan, that you can be Mezalzel. That Mezalzel doesn't mean to be Mezalzel. It means that you can go with a lower Shir, with a lower ratio. Okay, Amar Rav Shem Bar Abba, Amar Rav Idi Bar Gershom, Amar Levi Bar Prata, Amar Rabbi Nachum, Amar Rabbi Bariyam, Mishum Zaken Echad, Rabbi Yaakov Shmei. Those are some good Daf Yomi lines. De Bei Nasiya Amru, that in the Beis Hanasi they said that Beitza B'Shishim, that a Beitza that's Asur B'Achila, that gets mixed in with Shishim Beitzim that are kosher, Asura, it's going to be Asur Teet. But B'Shishim V'Yachas Muteres, that with 60 it's no good, but with 61, then it's going to be mutter. But he doesn't say, what do you mean, 60 or 61? Are you counting the original beitza? Are you not counting the original beitza? Meaning, does 61 really just mean a 60-to-1 ratio? Or does the 61 mean a 61-to-1 ratio? So, Amar Rabbi Zeru Rav Shem Bar Abba, Re'ei, Shata Matil Bo Gvul Heter. I have a problem with the way you're expressing yourself, that you're saying that a beitza b'shishim is asur and b'shishim achas is mutter, and you're not saying what it's about. So people are very likely going to make a mistake and think that it includes the Beitza Asura and that you only need a 60-to-1 ratio. But that's not so pashut. Shari Shnei Gedolei Adar, because two Gedolei Adar were asked about this. Lo Pirshu Asadavar, Rabbi Yaakov Baridi, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Travayim Mishmeid, Rabbi Shoben Levi Amri, they both said in the name of Shoben Levi, Beitza B'shishim Asura, B'shishim V'achas Muteres. They said the same formulation, V'yibayilu, and then they were asked, B'shishim V'achas when you say that you need 61, does that mean 61 including the treif one, so it's a 60-to-1 ratio? Or does that mean not including the treif one, where it's a 61-to-1 ratio? And guess what? V'lo pashit, they didn't answer it. So, mar pashit mifshat, and you're just saying it as if you know the answer, as if it's so clear to you? So you're leaving room for people to make mistakes. Say, itmar, amar b'chalba amar afuna, beitza b'shishim, Vihi asura bishishim va'achas vihi muteras. Whoa, so he says, the way we paskin, 61-to-1 ratio is what's necessary. 60-to-1 ratio is not enough when it comes to a beitza. The question is, where in Kol HaTorah Kula do you ever find a 61-to-1 ratio is required? Why dafka by a beitza, all of a sudden, you're going to need a 61-to-1 ratio? So the Ramban writes that according to the Ravid, it turns out that because of its chashivus, they made a hecker and they added a little bit to the sheer bittel. So the Rashba writes in the name of Yesh Mefarshim as well, but the Rashba says that's only if it gets mixed in with the beitza itself and you're trying to be mevatel. But the whole sugya is talking about it's a plata. It's not meaning the whole sugya is talking about that there's just tam of the beitza. So to say because it's such a davar chashav, you need 61. That would make sense if the egg is still in there. But we're talking about cases where you identified the egg, you pulled it out. It was just after it was cooked, so it's the tam of the egg. So that's a little bit difficult. The Rambam Machol Sasur Sperkta as well, Halach Yutes, writes that since it's a bari b'fnei atzma, they made a hacker and they were mosif to the shear, meaning it may not have a dinner of a real beria, which would never be batel afil be'elef. Well, over here it's only plate anyway, so it would be batel. But because it comes from something that is a beria, so we're machmir on the shear. Again, there are other things that are berias where we're not machmir on the shear. The Ramban writes what I think is the most mistaver, that it's very easy to make a mistake when you're mesha'er the size of eggs, because they all look like they're the same size, but there are slight variances in the size. So you can have 60 to 1. You think you have 60 kosher eggs in one treif egg. You're going to think that that's a perfect 60-to-1 ratio, but it's a little bit off because some of the kosher eggs might be a little smaller than the treif egg. So it's really 59.5-to-1 ratio. So to account for that tiny discrepancy, we say, you know, when it comes to eggs, we'll do a 61-to-1 ratio. That's how Rav Nachman understands. That's how the Ramban understands this shita. Okay, who does al kamid Rav Gamliel per Rebbe? There was a case. Someone came to Rav Gamliel per Rebbe, and chatzi zayis of chaylev had fallen into a large pot of meat. This is how Rashi learns the case. We're going to go with that. So Amalei, so Rav Gamliel says abalo shir barboim v'sheva. When such a maisa came, if there was 47 chatzai zayisim of heter connected the iser, he was matir. So apparently you don't need shir to be mivatel chatzi gezayis of iser, v'ani ashar barbam v'chamish. I'll be matir even if it's a 45-to-1 ratio. So you see a willingness to be makel with a smaller ratio because it was a chatzi zayis to begin with. Another story along the same lines. Hu dasal kamid Rav Shimon bar Rebbe. Same story. Chatzi zayis chayla fell into a pot. Amle abalu shir barbam v'chamish. Ani ashar barbam v'shalosh. And again he says, I'm willing to say that 43 chatzai zayisim of heter is enough keneged the iser. And a third story. Hu dasal a person came to Rabbi Chia and asked him what the din is of a chatzi zayis chelev that fell into a pot of hot meat. So Amalei klum yesh shloshim. Are there 30 chatzai zayisim of heter keneged the iser? It doesn't seem that you have the proper shear, and therefore you have to aser it. So time is like a shloshim. He was telling him it's aser because you don't have 30-to-1 ratio. Ha'ikar shloshim misharin. But apparently the implication is if you had a 30-to-1 ratio, that would be good enough. Amar Rabbi Chanina guzma. No, he was just saying that he wasn't telling him that a heter that if you added a 30-to-1 ratio, he was telling him, why are you coming to even ask a shayla? You don't even have a makum safik. You don't even, meaning if you had a 30-to-1 ratio, I'd understand that you're asking a shayla, then I'd be machmir. But you don't have to ask a shayla about something that's so obviously aser. So there's no makum safik. So it's not necessarily a raya that a 30-to-1 ratio suffices. Amr b'chir barab, Amr b'shul b'levi, mishum bar kaparo. Kol isurim shabbatora b'shishim. All isurim shabbatora, you need a ratio of 60-to-1 in order to be mevatel, whether it's min b'mino or min b'she'eno mino. But if you don't have shishim, then it's the whole thing's going to be asr. So I'm the father of Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, Rabbi Ata Omar Kain. You say that in the name of Bar Kapara. Halchi Amar Rav Asi Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi Mishum Bar Kapara. Kol Isurim Shabbatora B'meya, that the Isurim are not measured by a 60-to-1 ratio. It's by a 100-to-1 ratio. So Ushneim Lalamdua Elam Yisra B'Sheila. They both use as their source the din of the Zra B'Sheila of an El Nazir, that a Nazir brings a carbon. The Zra zroa goes to a kohen, and yet the zroa is cooked together with the rest of the ayil. So apparently it's giving tam to the rest of the ayil, and yet the rest of the ayil is mutter for non-kohanim to eat. So it must be, because there's bittel in there. So we're going to talk a little bit about the zroa b'shele, and we'll come back around to that concept of 100, how each one gets their opinion of the 100-to-1 ratio and the 60-to-1 ratio from the zroa b'shele. The chsiv, the pasuk says, v'lakach ha-kohen, it says zroa b'shele, it's the kohen that gets it, v'tanya, and the b'raisa tells us, b'shele, ein b'shele ela shlema, that when it says b'shele, it means that you're mevashel the zroa of the isle b'shele musa. That's what Tanakama says. Rabbi Shimon ben Chaya omer, ein b'shele ela shenis b'shele ima isle. It just means that not b'shele musa is a complete unit, but that it gets cooked together with the isle. So the kuliyam b'hai de'al mevashela, everyone apparently holds that the zroa gets cooked together with the rest of the isle. And the only machlokas is, when do you cut it off? So Marsa from Mechatich Lavahadam Vashala, that the Tanakama holds that first you cut the zroa from the ayil, and then you mevashal it in the same kli. Umar Savar and Reb Shimon ben Yochai holds mevashal lavahadam mechatichla. First you cook it together, and only afterwards after the bishul you cut the zroa off of the ayil. The viba yisema dukuliyam mechatichla vadam vashala. Or maybe everyone really holds that you cut it off of the ayil and then you mevashal it. Miu Mar Savar, but Reb Shimon holds bahadi ayil mevashala. You cook the zroa together with the ayil in the same kli, and maybe the Tanakama holds that you cook it separately in a different kli. So lulishna kama, according to the first way of understanding the machlokas, that everyone holds that it gets cooked together. So everyone's going to say that there's nesinas tam over here from the zroa b'shele, because everyone's saying it gets cooked together. It's just a question of when do you cut it off. Lishna basra, according to the lishna basra, then at least according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, it's all getting cooked together. And there's a nesinas tam. Say in Achinami, the Tanakama would not be a raya about nesinas tam and what the ratio you need for nesinas tam, but Reb Shimon ben Yochai would be a raya. So now let's bring it back home. Right? We started by saying that there's a machlokas. Do you need shishim or do you need meya? And we said they all learned it from zroa b'shele. So we're saying, okay, according to those opinions, which seems to be a prevailing opinion, that the zroa b'shele gets cooked with the rest of the ayil. So apparently there's tarovas over here, and it's mutter. Why is it mutter? So Madi Yom Rabbi Shishim, the Rabbi Chibar Bar Abba, who held that all Yisrim Shabbator is Bishishim, Savar Basar Vatzamos Badi Basar Vatzamos Misharinan, that if you look at an ayil and you measure the bones and the meat of the Zroa B'Shela versus the bones and the meat of the rest of the animal, Vavli B'Shishim, it's a 60-to-1 ratio, and that's the basis of 60-to-1 in Kalatarukula. Mandi Yom Rabbi Meya and Ravasi holds that, no, it's a 100-to-1 ratio, says Savar Basar Vatzamos Basar Misharinan, Vavli B'Meya. Don't take the bones into account. The bones are not usser. We take the bones, don't have any taste. We take the meat into account. And if you take the meat on a typical ayil, on the zroa of an ayil, and compare that to the meat of the rest of the ayil's body, so it is a 100-to-1 ratio, and that's why Kol Yisrael Mishor B'Torah are a 100-to-1 ratio. So says the Gemara, okay, so zroa b'shela is the basis for bittul. Can it be the basis for bittul? Vatanya, but doesn't the Braisa tell us Zehu hetra b'mechal iser, that zroa b'shele has something mutter about it that it would be aser everywhere else in the Torah? Zeh l'mute mai lav l'mute kol isur shel b'Torah. So aren't we saying that whatever is we're let you get away with over here by zroa b'shele would not be true by kol haTorah kula? So if we say that a shishim to one ratio is good enough over here by zroa b'shele, or 100-to-1 ratio in kol Tarukula, it's not good enough. So how can you use this as the basis for Kala Tarukula? So the Gemara is going to have three interpretations of what does that line mean, Zehu Hatar B'Mechal Iser. What rule are we breaking with Zroa B'Shela, if it's not the ratio rule that we're breaking? So Amar Abai Lo Nitzcha El Rabbi Yehuda Dam Min B'Mina Lo Batal. Ooh, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that when you have two like kinds, there's no bittel, so that's the rule that we're breaking. Kamash Malan Hacha De Batal. Over here, even though it's all two like kinds, it's still going to be batal. batel. So says Gemara, but v'ligmar minei. So why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say, ah, you see, by zra b'sheila, that min b'mino is batel, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda should draw the conclusion that min b'mino is always batel. Because when the Torah describes on the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, they take the Dam HaPar and the Dam HaSa'ir, and it still calls the Dam HaSa'ir, even though it's mixed with way more Dam HaPar, so that's a raya that Min Bimino is not Batel. So Rabbi Yehuda stuck. He's got Zra B'Sheila telling me that Min Bimino is Batel. He's got the Dam HaPar, Dam HaSa'ir telling me Min Bimino is not Batel. So he says, I'm going to go with the Dam to tell me the rule. Why? Why doesn't he learn from Zerah B'Sheila? Because Chiddush, the whole din of Zerah B'Sheila is a Chiddush, because it allows you to be Mvatel Lissa L'Chadchila, and that we never allow. It allows you to cook it L'Chadchila. Yeah, but if you can't learn from Zerah B'Sheila, then we're back to the original question. We should have learned the ratio of Shishim or Meah from Zerah B'Sheila. No, that's a Chumra that we're learning from Zerah B'Sheila. That really, Midal Raisa, you would think Rov would have been enough. So from Zerah B'Sheila, we're learning that you need more than a Rov. You need Shishim, or perhaps even Meya Kenegda. So, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll get to the next two interpretations of what that line means, what the exception is when it comes to Zerah B'Sheila. Everyone have a great day.